So, hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today in our April session of the Azure Networking Deep Dive. Today we are going to walk you through an architecture of an Azure networking solution. And we have a guest speaker from Corp. Before doing that, I would like to just give you a very quick introduction of the series and the team, especially for those who are new or who have not watched our recordings before. So we are an EMEA team, and we are all networking sales specialists. And the main goal of this series is to help you understand the way networking works in Asia and how you can plan and design your connectivity to the cloud. There is a sort of a readiness plan. So if you have watched our sessions before, we started by the basics of Azure Virtual Networking. And then we started presenting features. And for the last three sessions, we've been really discussing architectures that are more complex. So I highly recommend that you watch the previous recordings if you're still not very comfortable with the notions that we're discussing today or the ones that we discussed in the last two sessions. This happens once per month, and we do it via Skype. We started in October, and our last session is going to be in June. In terms of the format, we sometimes have a business overview, but mostly we focus on technical content that is either presented by the pre-sales engineers or by our guest speakers from Corp. And in terms of the audience, everybody's welcome, customers and partners as well. So this is a very quick reminder of the sessions we've had so far. In October, we introduced Azure Virtual Networking. In November, we explained how you can secure your virtual networks. In December, we introduced inter-VNet connectivity. And in January, we walked you through the options you have for hybrid cloud connectivity. In February, we had a more complex session around the virtual data center approach, and in March, we explained how Express Route is implemented. Today's session, as I said earlier, is going to be around architecting an Azure networking solution. Everything is recorded, and it's all made available on Channel 9, so you can either look for the sessions by typing Azure Networking Deep Dive in the search window or by going directly through this link. So before I hand the presentation over to our guest speaker, I just wanted to give you a very quick reminder of some keywords that will be used during this session. If you're not comfortable with those keywords, I highly recommend you watch our first recording, the one we had in October, that introduced all the basics of Azure Virtual Networking. So VNet is a virtual network. It's basically the representation of your own environment, the one you would have had on-prem, but in Azure, and it's completely isolated from other virtual networks. UDRs are user-defined routes, and they are routes that you can create. They're custom, and they allow you to override the system default routes. Express Route is a hybrid connectivity option that allows you to reach the Microsoft backbone via an aggregated partner, and it mainly offers you dedicated bandwidth and private connectivity. VNet peering is the way that allows a customer to merge two virtual networks as if they were one. And NSGs are network security groups, so basically it's a feature that helps you control inbound, outbound access to your network interfaces, virtual machines, and subnets. And the virtual appliance is a virtual machine that you have in your VNet, and it basically just runs software-based appliance functions. And now I will hand it over to Victor Arzate, who is a networking program manager at Microsoft. Victor is based out of Switzerland, and he helps customers build complex architectures when it comes to Azure infrastructure. So, Victor, you can take over as presenter and take it from here.
All right. Thank you, Sally. Let me take over as a presenter. All right. Here we are. Okay, so thanks, Ali, for the invite to this session. I'm very happy to present a real-life example of how we work with one customer that had the need to move workloads to Azure. So we will discuss how we approach this engagement, how we analyze the situation, and how we build piece by piece the Azure networking solution to address the customer needs. Okay, so first of all, this was the existing customer environment, probably something similar to what you already have or what some of your customers may have, because basically you have an MPLS network where you have different users there, And then the MPLS is connected to your on-premises data center. In your on-premises data center, there are a lot of servers that they provide different functionality for the applications and business units, like human resources, research, engineering, etc. Okay. Also, there may be some special DMZ or DMZ where you have some applications that are exposed externally, like web applications or some other public endpoints that you use to for your external users to get access to your applications. And additionally, these customers have several remote offices, more than 20, that they connect via remote side-to-side VPN over the internet to the physical data center, and from here they could reach their locations on the MPLS, and vice versa, the MPLS or users could reach any of the remote locations via this transit routing that we see here. So what was the customer ask? The customer ask was, I took the decision and I am shutting down the on-premises data center and I need to move all my workloads to the cloud, in their case to Azure. So what does that really mean? What it really means is that they were shutting down everything that is here between the brackets. For everything that was here had to move to the cloud. Why? Because they were shutting down the data center. They were not, they didn't want to have this on-premises anymore and they wanted to move everything to the cloud. So they came back, they came to us and they asked us, can you help us to move, to design the network architecture that will help to move everything that we have here in this gray box to run in Azure? Okay, so let's take a look at how we approach this scenario. First, we sat with the customer and we listened to their requirements. Okay, what do your business need? What really is your end goal? First of all, they were clear that we are shutting down the on-premises data center and we took the decision that we won't renew the lease contract for the physical data center. Okay? Then they wanted to move everything to the cloud. They took a lift and shift approach, okay? And they were clear that they said, we don't want to leave anything behind. Everything has to be moved to the cloud. And the other important location, now that the physical data center was disappearing, they were seeing the cloud, in this case Azure, as the central location. Why? Because if you remember in the previous slide, this data center was the central location between the MPLS and the remote of users connecting via VPN. Now the customer wanted to see Azure as that central location, given that the data center was being decommissioned. Those were the business requirements. Now, when we sat with the technical people and we start to gather the technical requirements for the solution, the first one that came from them was that they do require full routing across locations, meaning that they could be able to route between the MPLS, Azure, and the VPN connections that are set up via side-to-side via VPN. Okay. The other important technical requirement was that they wanted to connect privately the MPLS to Azure. Okay, so basically what this means is that they wanted to have a private connection, not over the internet, for their connection between the MPLS and their networks in Azure. In this case, we used Express Route. Okay, the next one, and this is also a very important one, is they said, okay, we are happy to have our workloads in the cloud. However, we want to inspect all the traffic that enters and leaves the virtual network via a network virtual appliance. Okay. And the other technical requirement was that IT or the networking department, they only wanted to take care and pay for the networking resources in Azure. Then if other business units or other projects or other departments, they were moving their resources to Azure, IT didn't want to pay for this and manage them. So they wanted to have real segregation between what IT was moving to the cloud and what the different business units or projects were moving to the cloud. Okay, so now when we got the business requirement and the technical requirements, we could start dividing the solution one piece and starting building this solution one piece at a time. Sometimes the way I see it is like when you have a kit of Lego, you buy a Lego for example, for your kids, you open the box and you have a bunch of pieces. So where do you start? Obviously, you start putting the pieces one at a time, right? Usually, you start with the foundations and then you start adding the different layers. So using a similar approach, that's what we did with this customer. So we started with the basic foundation, which is the virtual network. Okay. Then the first question it is, Okay, how many networks do we need? Do you need one virtual network or multiple virtual networks in Azure? So if you see here in this slide, here is where we analyze the pros and cons, okay? So it is clear that the customer is connecting via ExpressRoute, right, to the virtual network. So it's connected to here to the ExpressRoute gateway. Then they maybe they have some subnets for the virtual appliance and some shared services, like, for example, the main controllers or ADFS servers. But then the customer could create subnets, one for each department, right? And they could isolate each other using network security groups. So with this approach, we could meet the requirements that the customer were asking for. But what is the challenge with this design? The only challenge or the only requirement that this we could not meet with this design is the actual segregation of resources. IT wanted that the different departments have their Azure resources in their own subscription. Why? Because they didn't want to pay for them, and they didn't want to administer or manage them or know anything about them. They only wanted to provide the central infrastructure for everyone, and then each department were responsible for themselves. For this case, is that the customer preferred this scenario where they have multiple VNets. Why? Because under this scenario, the customer, the central IT still have their ExpressRoute circuit and the networking resources in the central IT subscription, as we can see here, but each department is responsible for their own VNet in their own Azure subscription. Okay, as we can see it here, they can create as many subnets as they want. They can create as many virtual machines as they want, as many objects as they want. That's fine. But if they want to get to on-premises, in this case to the MPLS via ExpressRoute, then they have to set up VNet peering. Okay, and when we set up VNet peering, we also so in this case now they can share their resources and get to on-premises. Okay, so potentially this could be done without this virtual network, okay, and potentially you could deploy, connect the ExpressRoute circuit directly here, and here. But what is the disadvantage of that scenario? The disadvantage is if you connect the ExpressRoute circuit to here by passing the hop, then you need potentially three ExpressRoute circuits, or only one, maybe. You could do it with only one, but you will need a gateway on each of these virtual networks, right? So, and then as this starts to grow, then it starts to become more complex, and this is why the customer sat for this scenario, where they preferred having the hub and spoke model with all the admin resources in the hub and the department resources in the spokes. So now the next question, because they told us, all right, I want all the traffic that enters the virtual network in Azure to be inspected by a network virtual appliance. So getting back to the design, how do we do this? So what you have to do, first, obviously, you have to go to the Azure Marketplace and deploy the virtual appliance of your preference. You can go anytime you want, and there we have a different offerings from Cisco, Barracuda, Checkpoint, Palo Alto, you name them. There are many, many, many options that we have in the Azure Marketplace. So now the question for you is the following. Whenever your enterprise users or your users from your MPLS connect via ExpressRoute, how do you force that traffic to go through the NVA? What you have to do is you have to apply IR or user-defined route here, where you set all the traffic that is targeted to the Azure VNets, all of this, forwarded to the virtual appliance. In this case, now when you have this object here, every single packet that enters the VNet will go to the UDR, and the UDR will forward to the NVA. The packet is going to be inspected, and then it can be forwarded to the right VNet. Now, my question for you is the following. How do you ensure that the return traffic, what these VNets send to on-premises, it goes through the virtual appliance? Okay. What you have to do is you have to do this, the same as we did here. You have to apply UDRs in all the subnets where you are going to send traffic to on-premises, and you define in the UDR all the traffic that goes to on-premises, send it through the virtual appliance. In this case, the traffic can be analyzed. With this, we have made two initial considerations. The next one is the VPN tunnel termination. Okay? So what is the situation here? The situation here is here, what do you have to deploy first? You have to deploy the VPN gateway in the same subnet. In our case, we deploy it with BGP in order to have dynamic routing. Okay. Then what do you have to do? When you deploy the VPN gateway, you have many options for the gateway, for the standard, high performance, or basic standards of high performance. We recommend at least a standard, because a standard is the one that starts supporting BGP. But for the costless customer, we recommend high performance. Why? Because it supports up to 30 IPsec tunnels, and it supports up to 200 megabits per second bandwidth. Okay, then basically all the different VPN locations can connect here, and all these locations can reach any of the services that are here in Azure. Good. So we have another consideration, and then let's take a look at the next one. This is the complex one. The customer asks, all right, I want you to enable full routing across the MPLS, Azure VNets, and the VPN locations. So if we get back to the design, what does this mean? What the customer wanted is this red line, right? That the users in the remote locations connect via VPN, and somehow using the ExpressRoute gateway, they get to on-premises. Okay, so unfortunately, this scenario is not supported. It is clearly documented in our in the Azure documentation. And basically the scenario is that the in the case when you have in one VNet the coexistence of the ExpressRoute gateway and the VPN gateway, then transit routing is not supported. So this red line is not possible. Okay? So what are the options? So there are few options that can be evaluated. But in the case of this engagement, what we opted is for establishing a VPN tunnel between the corporate MPLS and the VPN gateway in the VNet. In this way, full transit routing between these remote locations and the MPLS is enabled via this VPN connection. Okay. Yep. I put this with a yellow arrow, not a green checkbox, because it was not ideal. But at the end of the day, it enabled the requirement that the customer was asking for. And finally, how to improve connectivity from remote locations. Okay. So what does this mean? What this means is, let's take, for example, that the customer has the physical data center in Spain. Okay. And there are, the customer has different regional offices in all of Central and South America. So if the remote offices need to access the connect to the on-premises data center, what do they have to do? They have to establish a VPN tunnel all the way over the internet into the physical data center, right? And usually this is not ideal, right? We know that in many cases the transcontinental links are not reliable, or are the bandwidth is limited, it is expensive, okay? And usually customers have to deploy any kind of WAN accelerators to facilitate this. So now let's take a look when this customer moves to Azure, how we can improve this. So if this customer moves to Azure, what that means is they put most likely they can deploy resources here in West Europe, in Amsterdam, or in any other region of their preference. But in, they can also deploy a VNet in an Azure location that is closer to where they are. It could be here in the US, or it could be in Brazil as well, because we have Azure data centers there. So what this means is that the users in any of these red countries, they could just, well, first of all, these VNets, I connect them via site-to-site VPN. What happens when I connect these two VNets via site-to-site VPN? What happens is that now these two VNets are fully connected, and all the traffic travels across the Microsoft backbone. So you don't pay for this, or you don't pay, you don't need an external connection to make this this happen. This goes in the Microsoft network. What you have to do, or what this customer have to do, or users in these red countries have to do, they just have to do a VPN connection to their closest location. Okay, those are reliable links, and from here we take the packets all the way to the destination VNet. Okay. So with this, as you can see, with very simple techniques, very simple concepts, and very simple technologies that were discussed in this series before, you can come up with a complex solution that, as we can see here, this is the final design for this customer, where we are using a mixture of ExpressRoute, virtual network, UDRs, network virtual appliance, VNet peering, VPN, and many other concepts. Very, very easy. And as, and if I take the analogy that I did at the beginning, here is like the final Lego piece. Like when you put all the pieces together, and it's easier when you have, you start one piece at a time, rather than if you start to build the, try to make your design for the final picture, it is a bit difficult. So this is sometimes where we recommend to start for the foundations, start for the basics, understand where are the capabilities and the limitations of the technology so that you can put them together. Okay. So with this, now I'm going to switch and I'm going to demonstrate many of these technologies in an actual demo. And for that, I'm going to share my screen. And it will be great if you can type in the chat window when you can see my screen. Okay, something failed here. Let me try again.
It's loading, but we cannot see it yet.
Okay, I'm trying again. No, okay, it failed. So let me do the following, Sally. I will just sign out and sign in. Probably it's a problem on my side, so I'll be back in a minute. Okay?
No problem. That will give me some time to pick up some questions we have on the IM.
Okay.
So I see there's a question from Nick. Is dynamic routing possible between two MS data centers connected over site-to-site VPN? So when you connect site, when you do a site-to-site connection, Nick, you do it between two virtual networks. So basically, yes, you can add BGP that is supported to, so you have BGP over VPN, and I think it's supported since November. Then you get dynamic routing. So yes, it is possible.
Okay, so let me try again.
It is loading again. Yeah, we can see it now.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Okay. So here I am in the Azure portal, and as and basically I have a scenario similar to the one that I was describing in the during the presentation. So what I have is here on the left. So let me collapse this. So let me minimize this a little bit. Oh, sorry. So for some reason my portal is not responding. Okay, let me open another one, no problem. Okay, here we are. So what I was describing here, I have, let's say, on the left-hand side, I have on-premises, or in this case, where I was describing, like, my on-premises data center, or MPLS, okay? Then I have a connection with ExpressRoute, okay? I am connecting to a VNet via an ExpressRoute gateway, as we can see it here, okay? And then, as I mentioned, I want to spec all the traffic entering into the VNet. For this, I have a network virtual appliance. And in order to forward all the traffic to the virtual appliance, I created an UDR in the gateway subnet. With this, I ensure that, yep, everything that enters into the VNet will forward it to the virtual appliance. And after this, I have created two spokes, spoke one and spoke two, and one VM of each of the spokes. So basically what we will be doing in the demo is I will go to the on-premises VM. I will forward or ping traffic to the spokes that we can see here, and we will see that the traffic is going all the way through the ExpressRoute circuit, then the UDR, then the NVA, and that I can reach these destinations, right? So, okay, for some reason, I don't know why, I cannot click here. I will give it another final try, and if not, in fact, let me type with Internet Explorer. let me close this. Okay, this is better. Now I can interact. There was a problem with Edge. Okay, so first of all, I will go to my my server that is on-premises, okay? This is a server that I have on-premises, okay? Let's take a look at the IP address, ipconfig, and is 10.1.1.4, okay? How can you make sure that this server is really on-premises? Because let me minimize this, and I can see this is running on Azure Stack. Okay, you can see it here. It's totally on-premises. So as you know, Azure Stack is our on-premise offering for Azure. Okay, or bringing Azure to your data center. So I have this virtual machine here. Okay, now I have an express route circuit here. I cannot show you here as I have some sensitive information in this express route circuit, but what I'm going to show you is the connection. Okay. Let's close this. Here you can see that my circuit is connected. Okay. You can see that this is, here, what is it? Yeah. I can see that this is connected. And then if I go here to properties, yeah. I can see it here that the circuit is connected. Okay. Now, if I go to the next object, which is the gateway, here you can see that the gateway is one express route gateway. Okay. It's clear here. If I go to connections, basically I will see the connection that I was showing you before, which is this, and we can see it's connected, and the connection is type express route. Okay. So I have the circuit connected here. And this is connected to this virtual network. Okay. This virtual network, but you can, I have many devices, but as you can see here, this is 192.168.20/24. This is the address space for this virtual network. What I want you to take attention is this special subnet, which is the gateway subnet. Okay. The gateway subnet is where we deploy the virtual network gateway. Okay. More, also very importantly, here is where I have the UDR. Okay. Here is where I have the one UDR, which is this. In fact, if I go here, this is my UDR. And as we mentioned before, what is the UDR? The UDR is your self-defined routing. And here I am saying that whatever that is entering into the virtual network, that is targeted to this address prefix 10.100.0/16, send it to a network virtual appliance, and the virtual appliance is 192.168.2.100. Okay? So this is my virtual appliance. Okay? Let's take a look at the IP address of this virtual appliance. In fact, if I go here to network interfaces, okay, you can see it here. This is the private IP address. 192.168.2.100. Okay, this is the private IP address. And also, then let's take a look at this. So what is this really a virtual appliance? Basically, is any appliance that you can have from the marketplace. In my case, it's a Windows Server 2016 virtual machine with routing and remote access so that I can forward traffic. And also, as you can see, I am inspecting the traffic that is passing through here. So here you can see the IP address. You can see Wireshark that I have all the traffic being analyzed so that I can inspect everything that enters and leaves the virtual network, right? And finally, I have two spokes, two other virtual networks, which is this, and this spoke is peered with my hub. Let's take a look at that peering. Okay. As we can see here, there is a spoke. Okay. Which is this. And let's see the properties. This spoke is configured to use remote gateway. Why? Because here, when you create a VNet peering, it's a two-way. You create one connection from the spoke to the hub and one from the hub to the spoke. In my case, I am showing you the spoke to the hub, and it's saying that it will use remote gateway. What this means is that it will use the gateway in the hub so that it can get to on-premises. Now, if I check the link for the hub, if I go here and I go to peerings, What are you expecting to see here? Obviously, we will not select use remote gateway because this virtual network already has the gateway. What we have to select is this checkbox, which is allow gateway transit. Basically, what this means is that this virtual network is sharing its gateway with the peer that we created. Okay? How can we see this in, or how does this really looks like? So if I go to this virtual net, to the virtual appliance, and I go to the NIC, which is the network interface here, I can do something very powerful in Azure. I can run one option, which is effective routes. And this is a very powerful functionality because basically you can see here one virtual machine, what are all the routes that it can see. Let's take a look here. First of all, we see this virtual network. It's 192.168. This is the virtual network where it is located, right? Then I can see the address space of my peers because they are what VNet peering, right? I can see this one and I can see this other one, okay? Then I can see all the virtual network gateway. So this is everything that is coming from on-premises, okay? This is what the express route gateway is coming via the express route circuit. And finally, I have my default route to the internet, okay? So, and then what happens if I run the same in one of the Spoke VMs? If I go to one of the Spoke VMs, I go to the NIC, and then I select the NIC, and then I run effective routes. Let's take a look at what can I see. Okay, for some reason this failed. Let me try again. Effective routes. So what are the differences here? Let's take a look at what is the difference when I run effective routes here. First, obviously the virtual network, which is the address space of the network where I am. Remember, this is the Spoke VM, VNet, okay? Now, I can only see one VNet peering. Why? Because I am only connected to the Spoke via peering, right? I am not connected to the other Spoke. So this is why I can only see the address space of the hub. As you can see, this is very interesting. I can see everything that is coming from on-premises. Even, and I will pause here because this is important, because this virtual network is not connected via express route. However, is connected via VNet peering to the hub, and the hub VNet is connected via express route. Then, as when I created the VNet peering, I am allowing the gateway transit. This is why this virtual network, even when it's not connected to directly to on-premises, as I have the VNet peering configured, I can see all the routes that send me to on-premises, okay? And then we will test it with a simple test. So in this case, I already have a RTP connection to this virtual machine, which is Azure VM1, okay? I can see it here, and you can see here clearly that I am connecting with an RTP using a public IP address. So what is the IP of this virtual machine? 10.100.0.0/4. And in fact, I am going to do some. So let me open a notepad. Okay, and right now is 1:40 p.m., right, in my local time, 1:40. So let's take a look at the IP address. It's 10.100.0.4, okay? Then I'm going to return to my virtual machine on-premises. Remember, this is running on Azure Stack, okay? This is on-premises. So my memory is a bit short, and it was 10.100.1.4, I think so. 1.4. Let me double check. Sorry about that. 10.100.0.4. Okay. So I can communicate to this virtual machine. Why? Because if I return to my diagram that I have here, my packet arrives, is sent to Azure via the express route. Then via this connection, I am attaching the ExpressRoute circuit to the gateway. The gateway is sitting on this virtual network. Then I have an UDR in the gateway subnet, all the packets first are sent to the NVA, which I showed you before, and then via VNet peering are arriving all the way here. And as I mentioned, this virtual network is not connected via ExpressRoute to on-premises. However, as there is a peering between these two, the packet can arrive. And sometimes a ping is not really a fancy test. So what we are going to do, we're going to do this MSTSIM, and I'm going to connect to that IP, which is 10.100.0.4. Okay, so I provide the credentials. Hopefully this is the right one. Yes. Okay, and let's see what happens here. As you can see, I got this error because I was connected via the internet to this virtual machine in Azure. But now I am connecting using the private connection that I have between on-premises and Azure. You can see it here because I connected with the private IP address, right? Which is this. And to make sure that there is no smoke and mirrors, so I can open this notepad that we took about the time where just to make sure that I am really connecting to the same virtual machine. So in summary, here I show you a demo on how we have a really hybrid connection between on-premises and Azure. The connection is with ExpressRoute. I am connecting to a hub VNet. Okay. The hub VNet has two spokes, which are connected via VNet peering. And then each of the spokes are configured, or the VNet peering is configured so that the spokes can use the gateway that is here, this gateway. And then when they use this gateway, they can reach all the way to on-premises. How? Because as I show you, they have when they select that option, these spokes, they have the routes and they can get all the way to on-premises via ExpressRoute. With that, okay, so that's the demo that I have prepared. So I don't know if there is any questions or any feedback on this.
Thank you so much, Victor. We have a couple of questions. So there was a question around the best recommendation, or basically what should customers pick? Is it VNet peering or VPN? We picked the question CIM, but I think it's worth it that you comment on the subject because this comes up a lot.
Okay, so whenever, in this case, I could do VNet peering because the VNets are in the same Azure region. Okay. This is the first constraint. They must be in the same Azure region. The second constraint is that they can be in different subscriptions. That's totally fine. However, they must be in the same Azure Active Directory tenant. Okay, if these subscriptions are in a different Active Directory tenant, then you cannot do VNet peering. Then my answer will be, whenever you meet the requirements for VNet peering by far is the recommended option. Why? Because you have direct connection between the VNets, and this is what we show with the routing tables, right? You have direct routing between them. It's a direct connection. You don't bypass gateways. It's a direct one. However, if you don't meet the requirements because maybe the VNet is in another Azure region, or maybe the VNet is in another Azure Active Directory tenant, then you don't have an option. So you have to connect them either with VPN or with ExpressRoute. So those are the other alternatives.
Great. There was a question from Nick. So there are two questions, but it's around the same subject. So he was asking if dynamic routing is supported between two data centers, so basically he meant two VNets in two different data centers via side-to-side VPN.
Yeah, totally. So it's totally supported.
And then the question was...
But as I mentioned, the only constraint is that the VPN gateway must be at least the standard or has to be high performance. Basic does not support BGP.
And his question was about, once that is done, how can you achieve to extend that, so traffic coming from side-to-side VPN over ExpressRoute? And that's one of the subjects you covered earlier in the architecture.
Correct. So unfortunately, whenever you have in the same VNet an ExpressRoute gateway and a VPN gateway, transit routing is not supported, at least not as of today. However, if you really this requirement and it's an important for you, just send us an email offline and we can gather, because we are doing a research and we are providing this, we are doing this consideration to see if we enable this future, but obviously we need customer impact. If this is a scenario that is really impacting you, we want to hear from you.
Great. And the last question for today, is it a recommendation to have only one express route per region?
No, but I think also, Federico already answered it. Thanks, Federico. And as I mentioned, obviously probably I can expand a little bit more for besides what your comment, Federico, is that the beauty of ExpressRoute is that ExpressRoute, one circuit allows you to connect with, by default, up to 10 virtual networks in the same geographical region. What this means is if you, for example, provision your circuit in Amsterdam or in an European peering location, what that means is that you can connect that ExpressRoute circuit with up to 10 VNets by default, okay, and the VNets can be in any of the Azure data centers in Europe, okay, can be in the UK, can be in Amsterdam, okay, can be in Dublin, that's fully supported. However, if you require to connect across multi-regions, for example, connect one VNet in Amsterdam and one VNet in Singapore, you can have an ExpressRoute circuit with a premium add-on, and this will allow you to connect that ExpressRoute circuit to the two VNets across two Azure geographical regions.
Great. There's one last question. There are a question around SLAs, and then I think we can close up.
Yeah, I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, Federico, it's 99.95?
Yes, that's the right number. It changed recently to
99. So we offer availability. And as far as we know, our competitors do not offer that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Victor, and thanks to everyone who joined the call. The recording will be uploaded on Channel 9 like the other calls, so feel free to watch it. And if you have any questions, please email anybody or any person from the team. Thank you so much, and see you in our next call.
Thank you.